Welcome to The Connection, a weekly radio program where we share our experiences and expertise with stories of caring, courage, and change right here in Connecticut. Listen to learn about needed resources to improve your well-being and transform your life. Now, here are the hosts of The Connection, Lisa DeMattis-Lepore and Ann Baldwin.
And welcome to another edition of The Connection. I'm Ann Baldwin, and Lisa DeMattis-Lepore, who is the president and CEO of The Connection, couldn't be with us today because her baby's sick. Mm-hmm. But you're in good hands. Beth Connor is also here with us today from The Connection. Great to have you along, Beth.
Thanks, Ann.
And you know, when your babies are sick, damn it, that's a priority.
Absolutely.
You know, we know that. We know that as women, and we're so excited to have our special guest. Speaking of kids and babies, oh my gosh, Mayor Aaron Stewart is in the house.
Oh boy, is this my first interview about being pregnant?
Yes, it's an exclusive.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, only here
on The Connection will
my
you get the breaking news.
I know. I dig it. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. And Inside Edition wants this clip so
oh
that
God.
They can...
so go viral.
Speaking of which, just I want you
oh
to open
God.
Your... Is this your first little gift or no?
No.
Be honest. Okay, so we don't open the card. You don't have to be polite.
Okay.
So just look at this little thing. So as we're looking, it's so funny. We don't know if it's a boy or a girl, right?
Nope, not yet.
Okay. But we do know one thing.
Oh, it's a Republican.
It's a Republican. Yes.
Oh, this is so cute. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's really sweet.
So for our listeners, it's a baby blanket with a beautiful little elephant on it.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
That's really sweet.
It's amazing, and you're going to do great, and you know, you never skip a beat, so I'm sure that this is just going to be one added blessing, too.
We will be just fine.
So speaking of busy schedules, we really appreciate, truly, you coming in to be on The Connection, and you know, we talk about a lot of different issues, and one of the big issues that we talk about is, you know, recovery and support of which, and I know that you, under your leadership as mayor of the city of New Britain, have been a big supporter of folks in recovery, something near and dear to my heart, speaking from experience. So that's what we want to talk to you about, and why has this become one of your promises to the people?
Yeah. So we, just a couple of weeks ago at one of our last city council meetings, we officially adopted a recovery-friendly community designation, and this was after we started the mayor's opioid task force, and we've been doing a lot of things for people in recovery over, it's really been the last year that we've focused a lot more on it. In our community services office, you know, in the city of New Britain, we see people day in and day out that are looking for help and looking for, whether it's, you know, help with alcohol addiction, help with narcotics addiction, just overall where to go to get sober. And so we also saw the numbers, unfortunately, rise of those that are dying from opioid overdoses. And, you know, when I'm thinking about it, what can I do as the leader of a community to help? Well, what can I do? I can bring attention around the subject. I can bring everyone together that has the ability to provide a support system mm-hmm. for people that are looking for help, and I can make some noise about it.
And you're doing something unique because it is everywhere. It's in every community.
Yeah.
It's not just New Britain. It's not just, you know, Middletown. It is everywhere.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, a lot of communities don't recognize that.
No.
There are so many misconceptions about it. And it's not just people that are, you know, stereotypical laying on the streets and are down and out. I mean, you're talking about people with money. You're talking about people with jobs. You're talking about stay-at-home moms. I mean, it really, it's across the board here.
Absolutely.
So education is also a big part of it. And I know with The Connection, you know, that's half the battle mm-hmm. is educating people on the stereotypes and the options. So
it's true. And, you know, it's happening everywhere. We're seeing people from other surrounding communities come forward as well, saying, how can we get our towns involved in some of the initiatives that we're doing? One of them is the HOPE Initiative.
Right.
And
so how did this all come to be, Mayor?
So the Heroin Opioid Prevention and Education Initiative started in November of 2018. And we brought together, it was our police department and some local providers, but most importantly, the Hospital of Central Connecticut. Hmm. When you see people who we're dealing with that are overdosing, they're ending up in the emergency mm-hmm. room. But oftentimes, our police department is arresting people.
They're the first responders.
They are. They're the first ones there. Mm-hmm. But how can you throw someone in jail right. when you know that they have a problem and some of them are looking to get serious help for it. So we're partnered with the hospital, with their behavioral health department at the hospital, Jessica Collins. She's just been incredible, a great, great partnership resource. And we trained all of our police department, our police officers, on how to deal with coming into contact with people that are struggling with opioid addiction. Mm-hmm. Use your best judgment, right? So it's up to the officer's discretion. Do we want to give this person an opportunity to go get help? Here's a list of all of the sober houses that we have. How can we help link you up with it? Or am I going to throw you in jail?
Right.
Right? We have the partnership with the hospital. The officer will bring the individual to the hospital, offer them the HOPE initiative instead of going to jail afterwards. And more than 9 times out of 10, someone is taking advantage of it. And so to this day, I mean, there's almost 100 individuals that we've been able to help keep out of jail and get them into some type of program that will help them with their addiction. And it's been a very nice thing. But other towns are joining in with us as well.
That's great. And this is important. It's a whole different approach. Yeah. To working with individuals. Locking people up does not solve the situation. Getting them the help that they need to recover and to move on does. We see in our programs, you know, many, if not most, of the clients that we serve have had substance abuse issues, and they've ended up in prison, and they've ended up in bad situations because of it. And it's, how do you break that cycle?
Yeah.
Right? And is it the punitive, punitive punishment the answer, or is treatment the answer?
Right.
And we find that treatment and support always wins.
And if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Mayor Erin Stewart Extraordinaire, and she's serving now her 4th term as mayor of New Brighton, doing a fabulous job. And I love what you said, Erin. You know, it's like, as you do with the connection, you have to share resources. The work has been done. It's a cookie cutter that's already been designed, so why not give it to somebody else? If it's working here, it can work in other places. But you know, I got to give you a little credit here for this, because you do this all the time. You create programs, you create initiatives, and everybody wants to be like you. Everybody wants to be like New Britain.
So take it. If it works, take it.
Right.
I don't care. You know, I think sometimes people get so caught up in like, oh, I want all the credit for everything.
Right.
I don't care. If you're helping people, take what we've done. Mm-hmm. It's a working model. You can have it. Same thing with our homeless initiative too. And that was the Building Hope Together, which was the New Britain's permanent work plan to end homelessness. Mm-hmm. That model was actually replicated statewide with the coordinated access networks and bringing all the different partners to the table. If it works, take it. You don't need to give me a plaque or give me a trophy. Who cares?
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
The reward in that is seeing people get help.
Yeah. And they're being these are measured results. And that's the other
correct.
Thing. So you're probably sitting out there listening to the show with Beth Connor, myself, and Mayor Stewart, and saying, well, why do I care? Well, why do you care? Because this impacts you, listeners. It impacts whether you're addicted or not. You know someone who is. You know someone who needs help. It's improving our communities because it's a stressor on all of us. It's good for the economy. It's good for quality of life and everything else. Right, Mayor?
But you have to listen, you know, to some of these staggering numbers, right? Yeah. So from 2012 to June of 2018, there was 4,544 overdose deaths in Connecticut alone. Mm-hmm. The average age of that individual who's passing away is 42 years old, and mainly from heroin and fentanyl. But Connecticut's one of the top 10 states in the nation for drug overdoses, and that's why this is so important. 2017 was so far our worst year, with over 1,000 deaths in that year alone. And to talk about it from a City of New Britain perspective, in 2018, we had 202 overdoses. So for us, that's staggering. That's scary.
Mm-hmm.
We need to do something to address that. And it seems like the individuals it's affecting are getting younger and younger.
Right.
And from my perspective, you know, I have friends that this is, I mean, I have had friends die. I had no idea that they even had a problem until I'm reading their obituary in the paper and I'm looking at it like, oh my God, like I had no clue.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not people that you would expect.
What if I'm coming from another town or city in Connecticut and want to learn more?
So we have a city website that we have been working on. It's newbritainct.gov and it's /opioid, and that's going to give a complete listing of all of the services that we have, including the HOPE initiative. So newbritainct.gov cities.gov/opioid. And eventually we're going to have a whole new website that's coming up soon. We're redesigning the whole thing. But for right now, it's a list of all the resources that we have. The new site that we have, we're very lucky. We applied for a Department of Public Health grant. It's called the Overdose to Data Action Grant. And the city just received a $650,000 award over the next 2 years. It's a federal, came from the federal government, from the Center for Disease Control. But for the next 2 years, we can focus on data collection and really narrowing down results, right? So everything has to be driven by data. It's got to be results-based. But that grant is going to allow us to pay for a new website. It's going to allow us to create a whole new system that will be a first of its kind. And it's kind of exciting, just the brevity of what's going to happen here. If you, let's say that you had an overdose, Anne, and you know, you were treated by New Britain EMS, and they gave you Narcan to bring you back to life, right? It goes in our new system that we're going to create. Mm-hmm. Then you're going to the hospital. The hospital can access into this system and put in the type of care that you received at the hospital. But then let's say you get referred to a sober home. Mm-hmm. Let's say and you were going to spend a couple of days there. They have access to this. So they can. So we can track you along your journey.
Sharing documents. Yeah.
Yes.
Almost
and
like
with
a health home.
Yes.
Right.
It's HIPAA friendly, right? Mm-hmm. Because everyone will have to agree on it and sign off.
Right.
But we want to be able to follow you on your journey to figure out, you know, where can we meet you? Where, what are you ready to do? Not everyone's going to be ready to go into sober housing.
Right.
And you have to understand that when you're helping or trying to help someone with an addiction problem, you have to meet them where they are.
Absolutely. We say that all the time, don't we?
Yep, yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, speaking of Narcan, I'm sure that that has helped save lives.
Yes. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yep.
But, you know, I've also talked to some first responders that have shared with me their stories about they'll give somebody a dose of Narcan and 2 minutes later, you know, that person's back with a needle in their arm. So while it's a quick fix, to your point, Mayor, and to what you already know, Beth, is it's got to get to the next step. You've got to get help. You've got to, but more importantly, you got to want it.
Right. Some folks do look at it as preventative. So they, you know, they may use and say, if it gets that bad, I'm going to get Narcan and I'll be fine again, which is not the mindset, obviously. So we do have a little bit of work to do to sort of shift.
And that's where education.
Ideas. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yes.
That's where education is key.
Yes.
But, you know, okay, so I'm no expert, right? And I don't do this for a living. I just know what's right is right. It's taken a lot for me to become educated on all of these, the things that go into proper treatment for those with issues.
And terminology and everything
else. Oh my gosh, yes.
Right.
I've been learning a lot. And one of the things that I did struggle with this, and it's probably important for me to talk about because I'm still kind of struggling with it, a clean needle exchange program. So I, when this was first brought to me, I immediately was like, oh my gosh, I can't do this.
It's scary.
I'm an enabler. Does that make me an enabler if I support something like this? But I think I had to certainly take a step back and look at the struggles that an individual is going through and say, well, they're going to keep using. So do I, if they keep using, they're going to be, they have the potential to spread all disease, to catch hepatitis, all of these things that go into those dirty needles. Do I support something like this? And I'm going to the pros and the cons, and I met with everybody and, you know, all the Greater Hartford Harm Reduction Coalition and all these organizations that provide a clean needle exchange, and you actually learn that how much or how, what a benefit it is or what a benefit it could be to those in your community that are suffering, because you can also they develop relationships with individuals, right, that are giving them these
clean
needles.
There you go. I never thought about
that. So when they're ready for help, they know exactly who to go to.
You've planted the seed with that individual.
It's outreach.
Right.
Wow. I never even thought of it from that perspective. That's interesting.
Like, but it's crazy because I never, you know, it's just, it's not, you don't automatically feel comfortable with it.
Right. It's like, it's like birth control for high school girls. I mean, you want to give them birth control so they don't have babies, or do you want them, they're going to do it anyway, and do you want them to have babies?
Right.
I mean, this is where society is at today.
Yeah.
So
we do. We have a partnership now with Greater Hartford Harm Reduction Coalition and also, I think, AIDS Connecticut. And they are providing clean needle exchange programs. And you would never know that they're there. It's not like they have this big, you know, they're not advertising.
Right. No flashing neon lights.
Right. No flashing neon lights. They're going to where people are and providing the service and also providing help. And again, another piece of outreach for those that are looking for help.
Different pathways to recovery.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, and I know, Erin, firsthand that you do your homework. You and I sat on the board for a while of a community mental health associates. So you do your homework. You do listen to people. You're open to, I mean, you're very opinionated, but you know what?
Oh, am I? I'm just kidding.
at least, as long as I'm not, that's all that matters. But, you know, you also are very sensible and will listen to, you know, people make a good argument for or against something and you take it. And that's why you've got a council and that's why you've got good people around you as well. You don't make these decisions in isolation.
No.
You know,
no,
you are can't. The mayor, but you've got good people around you. Like any good, successful business corporation, it's not just the leader, it's everybody else. Just like at the top, Lisa DeMattis Lepore, who has started at the Connection, you know, as a caseworker, and now she's president and CEO, and the amazing changes and lives that she saved, and that generational cycle that's being broken.
Sure.
We talk about it all the time.
That's what it is. How do you break it? How do you get to people?
With
you know?
One individual. So, right? So people have to decide, I'm the one to make that change.
Yeah.
And then successive generations will follow.
Right, right. So another thing that we established too in New Britain, aside from the Opioid Task Force and the HOPE Initiative, we just recently kind of brought back together our local prevention council. Now, every town has one. Ours was kind of, it wasn't really functioning. So I kind of kicked everybody off and brought a whole new life into that. And so got a new administrator, brought all new people. And that's okay. Sometimes things need to change in order to function more effectively.
Yes.
And our local prevention council is they are already doing incredible work in tandem with all the different task forces that I have. And, you know, their main goal is to prevent a drug use amongst our youth population, too. So they're going to be doing a lot with our schools.
A lot of education.
A lot of education, yes. Because what we're seeing is a lot of our students, the opioid epidemic is affecting their parents. And so they're bringing that to school with them. And, you know, we have to start teaching these things. We have to start teaching about it in school. And I don't think that we're focusing enough.
No.
On
and they say, well, it's too early. It's never too early because they might have older siblings. You don't know what their situation is at home. So I have to ask you one political question. I said I wouldn't, but I'm going to.
Sure.
All right. So legislative session starts up and legalization in marijuana, medical marijuana, that's at the top of this guy's list. Are you for it or against it?
Oh, man. So honestly, I don't have a yes or a no.
Okay.
Right. And I really don't because I'm torn on that. Right. Sure. Okay. If you can. Yeah. If you legalize it. Okay. Great. Yeah. I know everyone's looking at it as a way to make more money. Oh, sure. We'll put the money in the schools.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Great.
Yeah. Right.
But at the same time, you know, it goes back to what we just talked about, being an enabler. Like, are you being an enabler? Or is it that they're doing it anyways and we're just going to take away, we already took away the criminal aspect of it.
Right.
So, but when you talk about it from a local prevention council standpoint, everything nationwide is pushing against legalizing marijuana. But I also do know the amount of people that do use it.
Yeah, right.
So it's like, but the state also can't ever make up its mind what they want the bill to look like. So sometimes it's you know, it's written one way and then it's like, oh, just kidding. Well, we're going to kind of half legalize it. But what I will tell you is that everyone's going to Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and New York and buying it anyways and bringing it here.
Okay, so here's what I want to do. Frontier now has direct flights out of Bradley.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to put everybody's ass that supports this on a plane. I'll pay for the plane. I'll pay for everybody's ticket, all of you lawmakers, okay?
Yeah.
And I want to take you back to my home state of Colorado.
Yeah.
And I want you to hang out there for a day, downtown, anywhere, any of the suburbs, and see how bad it is.
See, I'd love to be on that flight, too.
Because let's go.
I want to.
You won't believe it. It has ruined that state. I mean, are they making boatloads of money? Yeah. Property values have skyrocketed.
Yeah.
But I am ashamed of my home state of Colorado. So you know what, folks? If you're considering it, I think you need to do a little field trip to Colorado and then come back and tell me
what
you think.
And it all comes back to like what we were just talking about, right? Research, hearing everybody's, hearing all sides, looking at the data. And I think that's a big piece of it. Sure, it might be the easiest thing to say, yeah, sure, let's legalize recreational pot. Okay. But what is the overarching impact that that's going to have?
And we do have to look at the precedents because other states have legalized it.
Right.
But we've got to look at what's happening there.
You know what? We got to do what everybody else does?
No, but we can learn. We can learn from these other states. positive and negative.
There is no positive. I you talk to these kids, many of them who are addicted, I think they can say marijuana was my first, well, alcohol and marijuana were my first drugs of choice.
Sure.
Gateway drugs.
Gateway drugs.
Mm-hmm. I have to tell a story about this because this just happened at New Britain High School just a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
We had a couple of students that came down to the nurse's office, right? And they were so sick. And so, you know, automatically think, oh, the kids have the flu. They're throwing mm-hmm. up. They're so out of it. Just like
brownies.
It was, Anne.
Really?
So wait.
Nothing's changed since I was in high school.
But they ate the brownies. They came from Massachusetts. A friend of them.
Imported.
Imported goods, right? From across the line. Illegal goods from across the border. A friend of theirs brought them in from Massachusetts. They had no idea what they were eating. It was 400 milligram brownies, and the kids ate half of them, right, each. So it's 200 milligrams that they ate a piece, and then they were totally out of it. They had to all go to the hospital to get their stomachs pumped.
Did they know what they were eating?
No.
Oh.
Well, they knew that they were eating pot brownies.
Oh, they did.
But they obviously didn't know the
effect.
Right, or how much they were eating. So, again,
wow.
I just
education.
Say—
Education. Education.
Right.
That's unbelievable. And, you know, it just, there's got to be other ways. You know, I won't even get into the politics, you know, cut spending and do some of the other stuff, big guy up there, than legalizing marijuana. I'm telling you.
No one ever wants to cut spending.
No, I know. I know, but it's just.
Because you know why? Because that's the difficult way to do things, because you have to make tough decisions.
Exactly.
Right. And
right. This is the easy way out.
Yep. That's what bothers me, is I don't think that you should legalize marijuana just because it's the easy way out to find
make money.
More revenue.
Absolutely.
It's not the right reason to do it.
Yeah, and my editorial opinion is the money won't end up where they say it's going to go anyway.
It
so
never does,
whether it's tolls or whether it's legalizing marijuana.
And speaking for us nonprofits, we need that money to put into prevention and to treatment and to recovery.
But the big lobby will give you money for that, just like big tobacco did. Okay, so here's some money for you to help fight this thing that we're getting everybody to do. So they'll throw you a bone and you'll say, oh, here's some money. You know, it's it's just such a shell game. It's such a shell game.
It's awfully frustrating.
It is awfully. So what else is going on that you want to talk about? What can you tell our listeners? Other than you're going to be parents.
I know.
And your two little kitty cats. They're going to be mad.
Oh, man. I watched, I know, they're going to be jealous. You know what I watched last night? I was up all night. I watched that Netflix documentary. Did you ever watch Don't Mess With Cats?
No. I heard that they mistreat cats, though, right?
Yes.
I couldn't watch that.
No.
I couldn't either. You know what? I hate cats, but I still wouldn't watch that. Your cats are cute, though.
A cat lady.
What it was really all about was, it was about how everything that you post on the internet can be dissected, and how people can, you know, find you and track you through the things that you post on social
it's
media.
True.
And so this was all about this guy who posts videos of not nice things to cats, right? He's killing them. And they dissected every little thing in the room that it happened in to pinpoint the exact location of where the apartment was to find him so that he couldn't keep doing it. And they knew that, you know, oh, if you keep doing things like that, eventually it's going to be a person. And it was. And he did, but they weren't able to find him in time. But it's just a fascinating documentary about how everything we post on the internet can really be tracked.
Can create a firestorm, Tim Stewart.
Well, I told my father at the State of the Union this year he wasn't allowed to be on Facebook, and my mom had his phone.
He said he was a good boy.
He was.
And I'm like,
my
that's
mom
no
had his phone.
Fun. Yeah, State of the Union. I'm always sitting there on Facebook waiting for Tim to chime in on, you know, great things. But he's like, I was a good boy today. Oh, my gosh. All right. So tell folks again, we're out of time here, Mayor. So if people want more information, whether you want to become a partner, a community partner, or you know someone out there that's looking for resources, where can they find that?
Absolutely.
On the HOPE Initiative.
They can find us at newbritainct.gov/opioid, or they can contact me directly, and I'll be more than happy to, more the merrier on our task forces. Everyone can provide an outlet and provide support, and we're really happy to do that.
Well, thanks for coming in today and sharing the great work that you're doing.
Thanks so much, and I hope more people will take it and replicate it. Take my plan.
Absolutely.
It works.
Yeah.
Isn't she great?
She's awesome.
Just take it.
No, you are, yeah. I mean, you're fantastic. You're a good leader. You're a good person, and I just like your approach to what you're doing. And you talk about proven results. My business is here in New Britain. I came back, 4 years ago?
Yeah.
and started 22 years ago in the same building, and I can't believe the notable difference in the great things that are going on in this community. So a lot of that goes off to you, your administration, your council, you know, and the citizens of New Britain who want it to be a better place. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right, and thank you, Beth. This has been fun.
Thanks, Ann.
What do we want to do now? We want to thank our listeners for tuning in to this edition of The Connection
on WTIC News Talk 1080. Yeah.